I wanted to talk to a human being. Like, where are we? What is going on? But you don't get that privilege either. You don't get to commune with any people. You're denied that. They're kept away from you. So you only have the interaction of the demons. You don't get the privilege of talking to a human. Like, we get together in fellowship, and how nice it is to fellowship with people. We'd like to do that. You can't do that either. And you also are exhausted. I was like, if you've ever stayed up for nights studying for something, or you had to work a lot, and you're just completely gone, if you ever felt that way, we'll take that again times 1,000. You're totally exhausted, but you need to sleep, just like you would here. And you don't get to ever sleep. So that alone, you should just die from that. All these things should kill you. The fear that comes over you in this place is so overwhelming. Because here, you know, God's presence is on the earth. And even if you're in a scary situation, God's presence is here. There's no, God's presence isn't there. And it says perfect love casts out fear. There's no love in hell at all. So the fear totally dominates the place. And you're petrified, terrified, traumatized, everything at once. Because you know that you're subject to these demons, and you're going to undergo all this torture and torment. They drug me back into the cell and did other gross tortures, which I don't even like to talk about. Just every imaginable gross thing you can even dream of, they would do to you. And they enjoyed it. It was as if they had, I don't know if pleasure is the right word, but they were fulfilling something in them. They enjoyed hurting you. And I wanted desperately to get out of the cell. And about this time, they put me down on the floor, and each of them grabbed an arm and a leg and was going to rip my legs and arms off. And I was just bracing for this, and right then something grabbed me out of the cell. And I was placed over next to the fire. Not in it, but maybe a couple hundred feet away from it, but near that huge inferno of fire. And again, I knew how far it was. I don't know how you know, but you just know, like I said, it was 10 miles away. I also knew that I was almost 4,000 miles deep into the earth. I knew that. And because there's a lot of scriptures on hell being in the center of the earth. And you just knew. And I knew my wife was up on the earth, sleeping. And that this was the part that really bothered me a lot. I could never get to her again, ever. I knew that I would never get out of this place. And it's like here you can't quite grasp eternity. You can't get a hold of it. It's like forever, what is that? Well, in hell you totally grasp eternity. You understand it. You can feel it. You know it. And you know you're there and you will never, ever get out of this place. That's the feeling, okay? Never. And I knew that I could never get to my wife. And that alone, that thought bothered me a lot because, you know, I just said this to her before, but if anything ever happened in California, if we were ever separated and it was an earthquake or something, I told her, I'll find a way to get to you. I'll get there. I don't care what it takes, I'll get to you. And I couldn't get to her. I just couldn't get to her. I could never see her again. And it bothered me so much to have to feel that. And I thought, she doesn't even know where I'm at. She doesn't even know I'm here. How am I going to ever tell her? For eternity? It's just that you can't even live with that thought alone, just to be there forever. You're naked in hell too. That's just another shame thing, you know, just the whole, you don't have any clothes. And the humbling thing is, you know, God made us as human beings the best creatures that He's designed as humans. He's made us the top of creation. And in hell, these demons have become the lowest form of life that there is. And they rule over you. It's so humiliating to have these creatures run your life. And you think, you know, you study all your life, you go to school, you prepare yourself, you try to better yourself in every way. And then these creatures, that they had a zero IQ. Okay, that's what I felt. They had a zero IQ. All they knew was torture and hatred. That's all. There wasn't any mercy. They don't know anything about that. And I thought, these ignorant creatures are going to run my life? To live with that alone is horrible. And it says in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and the mighty man shall be humbled.
Oh.
So I don't care how strong you are as a guy and think you're macho or something. You're nothing in hell. You're hopelessly lost forever. I knew there were different levels of torments and levels of tortures, that there were people in worse places than I was in. And there's a lot of scriptures on that, being in different levels. Jesus said that ye shall receive the greater damnation, and you shall go to the lowest hell. There's a lot of scriptures that Sodom and Gomorrah, that it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city that Jesus was talking to. So if it's more tolerable, in other words, it would be less degree of severity of punishment for Sodom and Gomorrah. So there are different levels and people in worse positions, but any of the positions are awful. Anywhere. The whole place is horrible. It's just, you know, here we enjoy all the nice things. We get to breathe the fresh air and the sunshine and all things we take for granted. And many people, they don't want to have anything to do with God, but they enjoy all these nice things. They don't realize that if you take God out of the situation, remove God, the good goes with him. See, all good things, and James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So when you remove God, the good gifts go with him. And hell is, there's no presence of the Lord there at all. So everything we enjoy here, sleep and quietness and fellowship and food and comfort, temperature, all everything, you don't have any of that there. You're completely denied all those things, and you have to put up with it forever. I mean, there's no way out of this place. And, I mean, that's just hard to imagine. And you are in the center of the earth. There's a lot of scriptures that refer to hell being in the center of the earth. And it says in Ephesians 4:9, Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. Numbers 16:32 talks about, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And it goes on and on. There's one scripture that talks about the bottomless pit. And like Missler pointed this out, he said, the only place where there's no bottom, think about where is there no bottom? It has to be the center point of the earth, because from there, all directions are up. So it's interesting. That's where it's at. And the levels, again, all the different levels. About this time, when I was standing alongside the tunnel, I was below this cavern, like a round cave cavern type thing. And I looked up and it got dark, pitch black, but down here it was lit enough because of the fire. I was next to this fire, flames. And I could hear all the millions of people screaming in the fire, begging to get out. And I knew they were going to drag me in there too. And I didn't want to go in there. That would be worse. That was already hot enough. But in there, to be burned and to continually burn, you know, to feel all that, I didn't want to go through that. But all around this, the walls of this cavern were all kinds of demons. Every shape and size of demon were like, and I looked around and it was as if they were chained to the walls. I didn't see the chains, but I felt they were attached or chained to the walls, which didn't make sense, but there are scriptures on that too. But they were all different sizes and shapes. There were, again, big ones like 12 and 13 feet. There were ones the size of bears. There were giant rats, everything you hate. Giant rats, like as big as dogs, rats. There were spiders, huge spiders. There were small ones, and there were huge ones, like as big as this, like here. Just huge spiders. And thousands of them. They were everywhere, all over this place. And they all had one thing in common. They hated man. I knew they hated. They had enough knowledge to know that they hated man, and they wanted to torment us. You know, all of them. And fortunately, they didn't get to me. They were all there, and I was looking at them. There were snakes of all sizes and shapes, gross, horrible snakes, big ones. There were snakes. There was one snake, and I don't even tell this because people think it's too crazy, but there was a snake that came from around the corner, and it was as big as a train, as big as a train car. I looked at that, and I thought, I mean, just horrible things like this, all kinds of gross demons of all sizes and shapes. And as I looked at them, something began to pull me up, and I started rising up in this tunnel. And I didn't know what it was, but I was starting to move. And I just wanted to get out of here, but I knew I would never get out, and that I thought, who could fight these demons? They're so powerful and so big. No one could fight them. That's what's in your mind. No one could fight them off. And the fear, again, I'm totally traumatized and looking at all this and going up this tunnel. And about halfway up, it's pitch black, and I'm terrified. And all of a sudden, this bright light shows up.
Yes.
Glory to God. As soon as it showed up, it was so bright, you didn't have any question about who it was. None.
None.
Instantly, I fell on my knees. It's the only thing you could do. And right then, the Lord put it back in my mind that I was a Christian.
Hallelujah. Glory.
To go from the mind of total fear and trembling and that to instant saved, I'm telling you, it was nothing like it to feel, because the only ticket out of this place was Jesus. That was the only way. And you knew that clearly. There is no hope for them. You'll never get out. Only you have to know Jesus. I was so grateful I knew Jesus. I just fell at his feet and wept. And you know, we sung about his holiness. And I tell you, when you're in his presence, you can't even describe how holy he is and how much he loves people. He loves us so much. And for him to see us people, his creation, go there, it's like, try to imagine your children, one of your kids, going to this place forever. You can't imagine, right? You can't imagine how sad you'd be that your kid would be there. Well, he has so much more love for us than we have for our own family and own kids. And I just fell at his feet. I didn't want him to leave. I just wanted to worship him. And in Revelation 1:6, it says, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength, John says. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. That's how I felt. You just didn't want to move. You just fell. You didn't even feel like you had the right even to ask him anything. I mean, even though we do, you felt he's so holy. This is the God of creation. I just want to worship him. I just want to worship him. I'm so grateful. I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I did, I don't think I verbally asked him anything. I thought things, and he just answered my thoughts. And I thought, Jesus, why did you send me to this place? And he answered me immediately, and he said, because people do not believe this place exists. They do not believe it's real. He said, even some of my own people don't believe this place is real. And that startled me. Like, even Christians don't believe it? What do they believe they're saved from? But yet people, we've met people that don't believe that hell is a literal burning place. And he said, I want you to go tell them this place is real. Tell them. And my thought right then was, it popped in my head for a second, but who's going to believe me? You know, they're going to think I'm crazy or had a bad dream. That's what came into my mind. But instantly he answered my thought. And he said, it's not your job to convict their hearts. It's the Holy Spirit's. He said, it's your job to just tell them. Tell them. I'll convict their hearts. Well, right away, instantly, it was like, yes, sir. You didn't want to even... It was, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So that thought leaves when you're in his presence. You just, there's a boldness like, I've got to tell him. I've got to tell him. I have the answer. These people are going there unless we go out and tell them. And I said, Lord, why did you pick me? Why did you have me go here? But he didn't answer me. He didn't tell me. He didn't give me an answer. Why? And I didn't want to bug him about it. I just wanted to worship him and not have him go away. It's like, don't leave. Don't ever leave. Please don't leave. And also, look, I couldn't see him physically. I could just see the bright light and an outline of a man, the shape of a man. Because it's so bright, you can't really see him. And I just looked in this bright light, so bright, and white light, different than light we see. You know when you see these cars that have the headlights that are the new laser headlights and it's more white? Well, you got to go that direction. It's so white and pure and holy. It's like you, all of a sudden, the holiness of God just permeates every part of you.